Good day, and welcome to the Randstad Holding First Quarter Results 2010 conference call. For your information, today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Robert Jan van de Kratz. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good day. Also, welcome on behalf of the Randstad team at this table, which, amongst others, is composed out of Ben Notenboom, Bart Giernotte, Frans Cornelis, and myself. I'm going to take you through the presentation, and then after that we have the Q&A. The presentation starts at page 5, so I'd like to take you through the revenue development that we have observed in the first quarter on slide 5. And the first bullet point is the most relevant one. After 20 months of decline, we've now come to see growth again returning in the month of March. The recovery that we have noticed is broad-based. It's across sectors and across geographies, and we'll get back to that. The next bullet is relevant as well. Staffing and in-house showed growth in most regions in the month of March across the globe. The professional markets is recovering slowly. However, in the U.S., more or less 4 months after we've seen the first month of growth in the staffing segment in the U.S., we've now noticed growth in the professional markets. And then finally, the time lag between growth in staffing and professional in the U.S. is 4 months. But also, if you look at the time lag between growth in the U.S. in the staffing segment and growth in Europe, the gap typically is like 6 to 9 months. This time it comes out at 4 months. And as you can see on the in the graphs on the right-hand side, it is across the board coming from a very deep point, a very low point last year in the first and in the second quarter. So the summary is it's not only spring outside, but also within our markets and within the company. And moving on to slide 6, which is a summary of the key issues in the first quarter. Revenue amounted to a little more than $3 billion, which is 1% decline based on working days. The trend has improved through the quarter from minus 5 in January to plus 4 in March, and February being just below zero. And it is not only due to the easy comparables of last year, because you might recall that in 08 December we were at minus 18, and at the end of March 2009 we were at minus 31. So that was the worst quarter that we have registered. And the improvements month on month right now are bigger than the deterioration we did see last year. So there is an underlying real trend of improvement. In-house and the industrial part of the staffing segment shows the clearest recovery in our book, and that is also typical for the fact that the recovery we see is very much in the manufacturing and the automotive, but also in the logistical segment, and that's where in-house is mostly represented. The professional segment is recovering slower, but we've seen the first signs of growth now in the U.S. The gross margin is relatively flat since the third quarter of 2009. That means that commercial pressure has now stabilized. We see less impact of the decline of permanent fees, and for the first time also in March now, the permanent fees in our book have been growing. Operating expenses in line with the previous quarter, which we already kind of indicated at $500 million, which is 12% lower than last year. And we do see continued streamlining where appropriate in combination with selective investments. And this, and I'll get back to that at the outlook, is the key challenge going forward. We have to make sure that we use our leverage in the system, the overcapacity. At the same time, we also have to make sure that we invest on time. And on time is not too early, but also not too late. The EBITA reached $75 million, which includes an $8 million reclassification of the French business tax, which was explained in our press release, and also competitors have explained this element. The first quarter is typically the weakest quarter of the year. It's always that companies, our clients, are starting a little late in January. So effectively it means that Q1 is weaker than the other quarters of the year, and also typically the first half of the year is the weaker quarter of the weaker half year. The second half is more relevant in the year. The fact that our cost base, by the way, has increased slightly is the result of purely of commissions and bonuses related to the performance of the company. On slide seven, some remarks about the Dutch market, which is the late cyclical market in our book. It's a market that is predominantly geared towards the service sector. The industrial segment is relatively small. You might have noticed the market data that indicates that by now the industrial market in the Netherlands is also showing growth of around 8%. But through the first quarter, the revenue growth per working day arrived at minus 14. The market circumstances in the Netherlands are also slowly improving, and I would say it's unavoidable that, as in being an export economy, that the Netherlands will also benefit from the developments in the markets around the Netherlands. Tempo Team and Randstad are performing in line with the market, and Yacht, which is not part of the ABU market, which is the industry association, is due to its late cyclical character, it's below the market average. The gross margin is sequentially flat, so also that confirms the stabilization of the commercial pressure. The EBITA margin comes out at 6.2% compared to 5.8%, but one should notice that last year we took a substantial hit for accelerated termination of contracts in the interim professional segments in order to avoid and manage idle time. Across the board, we can say that in the Netherlands, the cost base continued to be well managed. But this is clearly a late cyclical part of our portfolio, so looking forward to see further improvements coming through in the Netherlands as well. The French market on slide 8 shows improving momentum. The organic revenue per working day came out at plus 1 for the first quarter versus minus 19 last year, very serious. The gap with the market came down from more than 5% to 4%, and we believe it's improving further as we speak. The staffing and in-house segment improved mostly in the light industrial and the automotive segment. Permanent placement has improved up by 50% in March. It's also clearly a focus area for the group. And the professional segment also shows growth now in the month of March. We have added 3 in-house locations, and we've moved 9 branches to in-house. And this is typically the trend that we expect to continue. The network in France is a pretty good footprint. We've rationalized it through the downturn. But if we can increase the number of in-house locations, there will be no doubt doing that. The gross margin sequentially shows a flat pattern, and we have a continued focus on the cost structure. We have some ongoing minor restructuring of 2 million, which we consider to be part of the game. EBITA came out flat at 0%, and DSO improved compared to the first quarter of last year, also due to the 60-day payment law by 4 days. And for comparison purposes, as you can see the note at the bottom, the 8 million has been excluded from the French EBITA in this analysis. In Germany, slide 9, very strong performance. If one looks at zooms into Eastern Germany, it's even stronger performance. The organic revenue growth per day came out at 10% in the first quarter and improving through the quarter versus minus 18 last quarter of last year. We are clearly outperforming the market, and the revenue trend improved, as I said, through the quarter. Strong pickup across all industrial segments. We do see growth in the German market, in logistics, in manufacturing, in the automotive segment. Gross margin is about stable, and we do see some commercial pressure and some mix effects. The idle time has never been very relevant in Germany during the downturn, but it has reduced below the level of last year. And today, I would say, idle time in the staffing segment is not an issue. When it is an issue, it's in the professional segments, in the engineering segment. In that segment, we do see a mixed performance. Growth has accelerated in IT, but the engineering segment remains relatively slow. We also see Kurzarbeit being less meaningful. We have a nice indicator of that because we also use it internally. And by now we have no people in Kurzarbeit, which is part-time unemployment in our staffing organization anymore, whereas we still have some people in that arrangement in the professional business. EBITDA margin up to 4.3%, which shows a very strong operating leverage. And a new collective labor agreement is in place, which is clearly good news for us. The key point here is that the difference between the various CLAs, collective labor agreements, has been limited very much. So we are happy to see that. We have now committed also to a pattern of salary increases going forward, and we believe this is the right way to go. It clearly has removed the competitive disadvantage from the market. The UK, slide 10. We do see strong growth in in-house and a recovery in perm, but, however, still in the first quarter, organic revenue came out at -6. One might have expected, following typical patterns, that the UK would have improved stronger, but it's -6 for the first quarter. In-house shows very clear and strong growth, and we also have a strong pipeline of new clients in that segment. General staffing is also showing a recovery, but at a lower level. Permanent fees are up, but the professional business shows a mixed picture. We do see continued recovery in finance, HR, and media, but we do also see challenging market circumstances in the engineering and construction segment, whereas health and education segments are facing some pressure. The EBITDA margin is stable at 2.2, and our performance in the UK is considered to be in line with markets. North America, slide 11, double-digit growth in staffing and in-house. We did see the first growth at the end of last year, and it continued into Q1. Organic revenue growth now at 9% in the first quarter versus -13% in the last quarter of last year. And we do see strong outperformance of the market. Our staffing business is doing well, but also our IT business has clearly picked up again. But we see 20% growth in the U.S. staffing and in-house segment. Decline still at the U.S. Business in some segments, but as I said, IT is clearly showing leading the way here. Canada slightly down in the first quarter, but growth in March. The gross margin is still under pressure in the U.S. market, also due to the negative impact of the SUI charges, the state unemployment insurances, and we are in a process of charging that to our clients, and we believe that we'll be successful at the level of like two-thirds of these increased charges. But that is a challenge. The cost management shows continued good performance. EBITDA came out at 1.5%. compared to 0.3 negative last year. Some indications on the next slide about the various segments in four geographies: manufacturing improving across the board, automotive as well. The Netherlands has very little business in this segment. Food has improved in the German market. Transport also very strongly improved in the U.S. and especially in the German market. These are our observations. It's our indication, and we do not base any macroeconomic analysis on this because we try to react to detailed trends in that we observe in our units, in our branches. Then some remarks about the financials. Slide 14, where we spoke about the revenue growth, which is clearly returned. Gross margin is sequentially flat across the board since Q3. We now have a gross profit of 775 million. Operating expenses in line with the guidance. EBITDA came out at 75 million, including a reclassification of 8 million due to a change in the French tax law, which became applicable as from the 1st of January, and it replaces a more or less asset-driven tax by an added value-driven tax, and that brings it to a reclassification from cost of sales to the corporate income tax. The impact is roughly 8 million for the first quarter, and of course 2008 remains unchanged. Slide 15, key financial points. Moving average of DSO compared by last year improved by 1 day to 57 days. We do see some increased use of working capital, especially the fact that the month of March is now positive. That translates into an increased use of working capital. The free cash flow for the first quarter amounts to 39 million. Again, the first quarter being the weakest quarter, but in the cash flow analysis, I'll get back on this point. Net debt improved to about 1 billion, with the leverage ratio now standing at 2.3, and the next mandatory reduction of the term loan is due in the month of May 2012. Income statement Q1 2010 on slide 16. That's the summary of the elements we have just elaborated on. So I'll move on to the next slide. Tax was already addressed specifically, but I'll get back to that as well. On the next slide, 17, gross margin development in Q1 2010, the typical slide that we always share with you. Last year, first quarter, 20.1%, this quarter, 18.9%, and in between, the temp margin down 1.1%, and it contains the effect of the geographical mix and the, let's say, the admin and the blue-collar mix. In line with last quarter, we estimate that roughly one-third is the result of mix. So one-third of the 1.1% is the result of mix. The rest is pricing, commercial pricing pressure. Some effect from the permanent fees, but as I said, in March, we've seen it growing now. HRS, some effect because we've disposed of part of that business, and the French tax, that's a reclassification, arriving at 18.9%. Slide 18. This underlines the timely adoption of the cost structure and the improving productivity, and I think it clearly outlines that we have been able to adjust the cost base in line with the development, the commercial development of our business. And what we expect to see, and you can already see that in the graph on the right-hand side, is that you'll see growth going forward in the number of employees, but the network is very much sufficient, with the exception of Randstad in-house, the network is very much sufficient to deal with the first phases of growth. Please also note that the number of outlets has been adjusted. In Belgium, we have an increased number of in-house locations. We did have clients that used to be primarily served through the branches, with people that visited those clients very regularly, and now we have set up an official in-house structure for those clients, and that makes a difference of roughly 60. Then the next slide, 19. Some remarks about tax. This is a slide we have used before. What drives the tax rate? Growth of operating companies clearly drives the tax rate because the impact of the permanent differences, for example, the financing structure that we have in place through Brussels, that impact continues but becomes less relevant if we have higher operating profit due to growth. That's a mathematical logic. Also, the weight, typically growth, is in countries with a slightly higher tax rate than we did have last year, given the strong contribution of the Netherlands. So that will increase the average, the weighted corporate income tax rate. We also might have some changes in corporate income tax, and that depends, of course, on what happens in each and every country that will have an impact. If we repay the 150 million to the Dutch tax authorities, it will have only an impact on the cash tax rates, and it's expected that that will take place in 2012. The payment regarding the recapture obligation, which is fully provided for in the balance sheet, will have an impact on the cash tax rate and not on the effective tax rate. This is clearly liquidity of cash management and the timing differences that is depending on the calculation of the deferred tax positions will have an impact on the cash tax rate. As a result of this, and as a result of the reclassification in France, we've updated the expected tax rates at the bottom of the page, as you can see here. For 2009, of course, no change because then the tax in France was still in the old structure. In 2010, we are adjusting it from 20% to 22% to 27% to 30%, which is the result, again, of the French reclassification. And going forward, it goes from 24% to 30% to 31% to 37% now, and we believe that the cash tax rate for this year will be slightly above, but for the years to follow, in line with the effective tax rate. Then the consolidated balance sheet, 20. Nothing to report here as being special, so we'll move on to slide 21, the consolidated cash flow statement. And I already made the point that it's the weakest quarter, but also the amount of cash is a little less than we would expect, and that is purely the result of two elements. First of all, in March, we did grow, and that absorbs some working capital. Secondly, on the payable side, timing of payables at the end of the quarter or at the beginning of the next quarter makes a difference. The fact that we are using operating working capital is very much a function of coincidental elements in terms of payment momentum. Last year, a very substantial release, 204, which was the result of serious decline in the business. Slide 22, the debt facilities. We have decided to reduce the facility for efficiency reasons by 300 million because we believe that it's inefficient to maintain that because we're not planning to use that kind of facility at that level. The facility now has a ceiling of 1.995 billion or 2 billion euros. The covenant, as I said, is at 2.3, and the banks allow us to go up to 3.5, but internally, we're aiming to be not above 2.0. There's no refinancing need before 2013, and we are back now to paying 75 basis points above Euribor. Our typical slide on slide 23, which outlines the priorities that we have in each and every phase. We're coming out of the stabilization phase into growth. We're still aiming to get to the 4% EBITDA ASAP, and that is a function of the level of growth that we'll see in the next quarters in the countries where we grow, because we're not all through the group. We're not all in the same phase. In the countries where we grow, we have a very strong focus on high conversion at the very beginning and then gradually declining to more than 50%. That is incremental conversion ratio. The outlook going forward, and in order to avoid many questions, we'll provide you with the exit rates of the month of March. In the Netherlands, that was -12%. In France, that was +7%. In Germany, +18%. In Belgium, +3%. The U.K., 0%. Iberia, +13%, and North America, 17%. You should note, as we have written in the press release, that the volumes in April are somewhat better again than what we have seen in March. The positive trend is expected to proceed through Q2. Our forward visibility, as you know, is always limited, but based on the trends and the transactions that we observe as we speak, we believe that we'll see these trends continuing in Q2. We see growth in all in-house businesses, again, due to manufacturing and the logistics segments. The staffing business we see rebounding in most regions. Professionals is recovering slowly, but we see growth in some regions as from March onwards. Permanent fees growing again. Late cyclical markets, the Netherlands continues to be behind. The gross margin continues to be sequentially stable. Looking at the cost base, one relevant remark to make is that we showed you a scenario analysis at the Investor Day where we said we could see growth of 10% with a 2 billion or flat cost base if we would see growth equally distributed amongst all the operations. Of course, that's a dream which is not going to be coming through. That's also what we see today in our business. The cost base is expected to be slightly up. We are looking at selective investments, mainly in people and marketing, because I already made the point, the footprint of our network is pretty extensive. We have lots of square meters left open in the branches where we are. When we see the network expanding, it will mostly be in-house services. As I already mentioned, if you zoom into Germany, you see the East German market being ahead of the German growth. That is typically a market where we already have started to look at expanding the number of people and also investing in marketing in order to enjoy the opportunities in that market. We continue to preserve the network and the commercial power in areas where revenues are still negative. We don't feel this is the right moment in time to cut further. We'll try to keep it in place in order to enjoy the expected, the anticipated growth. Well, that completes the analysis with the summary on 25 of the performance in the first quarter, and we'll now move to Q&A.
you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone to signal for questions. And our first question is from Toon Tuis from Fortis Bank Netherlands. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, a question on your tax rate. You guided the 27 to 30% tax rate for this year. And please help me out on this. So what I do take is profit before tax minus amortization and apply that tax rate to it, and then the amortization will still be deductible at 31%?
I mean, the rate that we supplied is the underlying rate. So if you just apply it on the profit before tax before amortization, that brings you to EPS.
All right.
Yeah, we've left the amortization out, but if you include it, it's still the 31%.
Okay.
And the change is only related to France, so nothing changed to the rest of the underlying assumptions.
No, that's clear, but right. And then on your operating expenses, you already made some remarks on it, especially on the branches. It's sufficient to deal with the first phase of growth, but do you expect the number of branches to increase going forward, or do you think that it will remain stable in most of your mature markets?
Yeah, hello, Ben. Also me. The number of branches will increase, but that'll be mainly be in-house branches. So we don't plan to expand regular branches today.
Okay, and for example, merging branches.
Yeah, we've done that. Huh? There was some sort of a necessity to do that, giving minus 30% we had. So we've done that in the places where it was where it made sense.
Okay, and that's not something you plan to do going forward.
Nope. There might be some incidents, but that's not something that we have in the policy now. Nope.
All right. And then on the people and marketing, where you may invest selectively, can you indicate in what regions you expect first investments to be needed?
Yeah, but it's the usual suspects, obviously, where we have been rebranding. But in general, as you know, we like a healthy level of marketing spend. We have been a bit under that level last year, and we're back to that level again for this year.
And you have not been back at that level in the first quarter?
Almost.
Almost. All right. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Mark De Boer from RBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Gentlemen, good morning. It's Mark from RBS. Two questions. First, on your interest and the potential opportunity for hedging, Robert John. I think in the past you have been indicating that if you were seeing markets getting better, you would reconsider. Can you update us on this? And then secondly, looking at the impact of the law change in France on your gross margin is around 30 basis points. Can you split that up over the temp margin and the mix impact, etc., so that we have an idea where we should adjust the gross margin for this impact? Thanks.
We'll take your second question first. Bart is going to respond to that one. Now, mean we have excluded it in the analysis, so it's not included in the temp margin. You know, where we have given the pressure of 110 basis points, the temp margin, that excludes the impact from France.
No, I understand. So, I mean, like for like, I mean, that would have been down 1.4%.
No.
No, it's not in there, Mark.
Okay. So yeah.
So we made the calculation already you want to make now. You don't have to do it. We did it for you.
Okay. We're the service business.
Yeah.
And then your first point about the interest policy of Randstad, we said we'll consider it carefully, but the policy is not to hedge, and we'll think it over a couple of times every year if that continues to be the policy. And the conclusion is it is still the right policy. And by the way, the size of the net debt, if we do see continued growth going forward, makes the challenge a lot smaller going forward. Huh? So no change to the policy, let me be clear.
Okay, clear, thanks.
Our next question comes from Toby Reeks from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. A few questions, if I can. The first is on, I think, average headcount was down about 3% sequentially versus Q4, but the SGA was flat. Can you sort of just talk about SGA and the headcount and how you think that might sort of move going forward? And then secondly, just looking at the margin targets that you gave at the Investor Day or scenario analysis, the 2010 sort of growth of 5% had an EBITA margin of 4%. Is that something you guys are going to stand by?
No, these were very... these were scenarios, so I'm going to answer your last question first. These scenarios we shared were theoretical, requiring equal growth across the board, and that's by no means what we see today. But it was just an indication to show you what the options could be, and it's very much depending on the trends we see in the market.
First question is easy. What we see is that since we have more companies above budget, we need to provide for more bonuses, commissions. So that explains an increase in salary costs. We had a few exceptions in that, but that's minor.
Okay, guys, thanks.
So the better we perform, the more expensive it will be, and we'll be more than happy to pay that.
Our next question comes from Jamie Brandwood from UBS. Please go ahead.
Morning. I had two questions as well. First question, just on Germany, I think you mentioned you have now no workers yourself on Kurzarbeit within your staffing operations. Can you talk a little bit about your German customer base and whether they still have any Kurzarbeit workers left and therefore have started hiring temps again, or whether they've been hiring temps before actually taking their own workers off of Kurzarbeit, what the dynamic is there?
Yeah, both situations occur in the market. So we do see some that take flex workers, because once you take somebody out of Kurzarbeit, you can't put them back again. So they are still a bit hesitant about how sustainable this development obviously is. And that's why they are more careful. But also many companies have taken the people out of Kurzarbeit, and my guess is it won't take long before everybody's out, because market is really improving so fast. I can't imagine that we'll have a lot of Kurzarbeit going on in the near future.
And Ben, on that point, I mean, one of your competitors in Germany was saying that actually it isn't so difficult to put workers back onto Kurzarbeit if you bring them out of Kurzarbeit, but you're saying it is difficult to put them back?
Yeah, it is difficult.
Okay. And then the second question, just on your permanent recruitment activities, and I think you mentioned plus 5% year-on-year in March. And I think for France specifically, you mentioned plus 50%. Yeah. Can you give us some regional detail in some of the other main countries as to what's happening with perm?
North America is a plus single-digit figure. Same goes for the UK.
Yeah,
and France is the only one which is, you know, very high.
Yeah,
and the Netherlands is, of course, still seriously down.
Yeah. And all the others are relatively small amounts in this activity. So
I think in France it's also very much.
Italy also has a big growth, but talk about a few hundred thousand euros.
Because I mean, if we look at the momentum in perm as a whole, I mean, you've gone from sort of minus 19% in January to plus 5% in March, which is much stronger than the momentum in the overall business, the whole group. If we look at January minus 5 and then March plus 4, so are we getting to a point now where, you know, you think maybe in Q2 the perm business is up a lot more than the temp business, and therefore we start to see a positive effect on your gross margin?
Yeah, but that could happen.
Mm.
But you should also take into account, of course, that it looks as if that market is recovering a lot more. But you should look at the geographical spread. The importance of the U.S. And U.K. market is, of course, very, very big on permanent placement. So that's why it makes sense. That would be above average on growth, because those regions have above average growth.
Yeah, and we are comparing against a decline last year of more than 50%.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from David Taller from Rabo. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Follow-up on the margin target presented last year. Can you, let's say, put it in a different way, could you confirm that if you would arrive at around 10% sales growth in 2010, that you would be very close to the 4% margin for the full year? And then maybe some clarification on on the SG&A slightly up. Is that slightly up in meaning a couple of millions or a couple of percentage versus Q1? Thanks.
Yeah, the first question is easy, David. The more growth, the more likely it is we'll make more profit.
That's a very easy answer, Ben.
Yeah, but it's true. I mean, whether it's at 12 or at 9 or at 14%, I mean, that would be a little bit too much detail, because it would also depend, obviously, on the spread. So where would we see the growth? But for sure, we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
SG&A growth is indeed expected to be sort of limited at the very beginning. We're using overcapacity in quite some countries still today. Whereas, as I explained, in Eastern Germany, we have now embarked upon the next phase of selective investments, and that means that for the next quarter, we're not going to see very significant investments. It will again be bonuses and commissions and some investments in people.
And so rather a couple of million than a couple of percentage points.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question comes from Arun Rambukus from Kempen. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. One question from my side. Just looking at the Dutch market and noticing a 10% sequential decline in Q1 versus Q4, what is your assessment on that pattern? Because it's clearly worse than what you typically would see Q1 versus Q4. Was the weather a negative impact in the first quarter? And if that was the case, if you strip that out, what would the true earnings power be of the Dutch market? Was it somewhat understated by the weather conditions in Q1? Thanks.
Arun, I think that the sequential decline is the 10% is actually lower than the average we normally have in a stable market.
Well, in Q1 08 versus Q4 07, you have minus 7.5%. So, that's the only comparable that I have in a normalized year.
Yeah, but then we still look at the growth we had in that quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the distribution of revenue, then I would expect the gap to be at least 10%, and normally even up to 15 between Q4 and Q1. The weather has had some impact, but it's not material. It's not very big.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Frank van Zijk from SNS Securities.
Good morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions, please. First on Yacht. Can you give the trends through the quarter and elaborate some more on the different segments besides the public segment? Can you also give some information on the development at the public area in France, how you're doing there, and what your feeling is with respect to market share, gaining market share? And finally, cross-selling opportunities between Vedior and Randstad. I mean, clearly the cost side you have covered well. Now markets start to grow again. Where do you expect to see the first cross-sellings? Is it still visible, or can you elaborate someone on that, please?
Okay, Frank, your first question was with regards to Yacht. How did it perform through the quarter? I would say it's the most late cyclical part of a late cyclical market, and that means it's negative, as we have shared with you, and it's sort of stable at a level through the quarter. If you look at the segments, there's a different pattern. Any business that is related to industry shows an improvement, like the businesses we have in the south of the Netherlands, and typically clients like ASML are showing a different pattern here, a better pattern than the business in the other segments, like HR or finance.
Yeah, on the public sector, nothing has not a lot has changed since we talked about it last time 2 months ago. Of course, as we said, that is a process that will take time. We are working hard on it. I don't even know the exact revenue number today, I must say, but I don't think there's a spectacular change compared to when we discussed about it last time. Cross-selling, that actually has never stopped. We have initiated many cross-selling initiatives. The biggest marginal effect on that, obviously, is in areas where we have many different operations that in the past never talked to each other. For example, in the U.S., we launched a program called the Force of One, I think six months ago, 7 months ago, with huge success, where actually people from the old reader companies jointly found out that if there were an IT, etc., they could help each other. I can't quantify how much that result is, but it has been an ongoing process also in the downturn. It hasn't changed.
Okay, let's come back on France, please. When do you expect a more robust that is more quantifiable the impact of the public area?
Yeah, we can quantify it now. I just don't know it by heart.
We did share that with you in the Investor Day presentation in France.
Yeah.
And I think we did make an analysis of that, and I would refer to the website for the presentation.
Indirectly, we do have business with the government, of course. We can check and get back on that.
Okay, thanks.
We have it, but again, I don't know it by heart in this.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Conrad Zomer from Chevreux. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning. Conrad Zomer, Chevreux. Two questions. First, on the overcapacity in your network. You've elaborated a little bit on selective investments, but could you give an overall number, what you think your current overcapacity is? And the second question is on the exit rate in March. I missed the number you mentioned for France, so maybe if you could repeat that would be great. Thank you.
The exit rate for France in March was 7%.
Thank you.
Overcapacity, I'd say, it all depends on the spread where you look. On average, I would say we should still be in the range of 20-25%. Because again, also Q1 is a slow quarter, so and we compared it to the actuals for a year when we said 30% overcapacity. So there is still quite a lot of overcapacity left, I'd say.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is from Thijs Berkelier from Petercam. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Three questions from my side. Corporate employees in France and Netherlands on average were sequentially down from Q4. Can you maybe tell us what the year-end number of corporate employees was in France and Netherlands? And related to that, when looking at, let's say, the strong growth now in France, will we see the number of corporate employees rise in France again in the second quarter? Next question is other Europe. Can you maybe give a bit of flavor on what is happening in Italy and the margins there versus the other operations in other Europe? And finally, corporate expenses. They still seemed rather depressed or low. Can you give us a bit of flavor on what we can expect there to happen in the coming quarters?
Okay, to ask your first question about the corporate employees, I think it's in the annual report, but we'll provide that after the call.
Corporate expenses. Which one do you mean, overhead? Corporate expenses, he said. They seem low.
Thijs, can you repeat that question about corporate expenses?
Thijs is wrong.
Thijs?
Yeah, do you still hear me?
Can you repeat the question about corporate expenses?
Corporate expenses in Q1 were down at 10.6 million. Can you give us a bit of flavor on what we can expect there for the remainder of the year?
Well, let me deal with that question first then. I think that's very much in line with the previous discussion. We expect to see selective investments, and that means it will go up slightly as a result of those investments, as a result of commissions and bonuses being paid. And at the same, we'll try to use the overcapacity in the system wherever we can. And that will result in a slight adjustment and a slight increase of the operating expenses going forward.
Yeah. Exit rates in Holland were about 10,500 and in France 3,900 employees.
Very good. Other Europe?
Italy is improving. You asked for Italy specifically, right?
Yeah.
In March we were at about zero. compared to last year, so it's getting there, it's improving. Spain we shared, plus 12% in March, doing well. And Portugal, double-digit growth, has been doing well through the crisis. Really impressive performance with a plus 15 in March. Greece growing, something like, I'm not sure, anything between 50 and 100%. But won't have a material impact. Turkey growing over 100%. What else is south? Hungary over 100%, but again, it's all very, very small. And of course, the Nordic is doing very well also. Norway, Sweden, Denmark. So many of the small countries are really showing very, very high growth numbers.
Can you give me then, let's say the March growth rate for other Europe?
Other Europe, well, I don't have it here. We'd have to calculate that.
No, but it's also
it's big because
it's, yeah.
If you take a weighted average, Poland is of course the biggest in number of employees, and they are growing over 30%.
So it's at the high end of the ranges that we provided to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from Margot Yaris from KBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Margot Yaris, KBC Securities. My first question is about the secular growth you mentioned in the press release. Could you tell me which countries you have seen the month-of-month improvements on the sales? And then my second question regarding the in-house business in the UK. So you mentioned there a strong pipeline, new clients. Is this a result of openings of new in-house branches? And what's your strategy going forward in this respect? Are you increasing your branches further? Thanks.
Yeah, on the second one, indeed, in-house UK shows an enormous growth. Really, really very, very big, with many new client wins. And actually, we talk about cross-selling. A part of that is caused by the fact that we have used our international account management team to open up a new client. So in that respect, we will keep on opening in-house branches for sure. But of course, you open a branch like that after you've gained the business, so that helps a lot on cost.
With secular growth in our press release, we are referring to the fact that it is a more fundamental kind of growth. It is where clients are building more flexibility in their system, and as a result of that, that has impact on the business trends in our sector. That's what we're referring to.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And now we'll take our final question from David Hancock from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Ed. Just a couple of the first one to pick up on that last point about clients wanting to build more flexibility into their workforces. Does that feel very different from the last time you were in a recovery situation? Were clients not at that point also saying that they want more flexibility, and then as confidence in the recovery improves, they start to forget about that? Does it feel very different this time?
Yeah, it feels the same, only more of it, because I mean, the harder you get hit, the bigger the shock, and the longer the trauma will last, and that's what we expect. But in time, indeed, people will go back to more confidence. But then still, everybody, as we've seen, of course, and that's one of the reasons penetration went up that much, is that companies do have the policy or the strategy to have a reasonable, big, flexible layer in their organization, because even in a stable economy, the demand is not equally spread through the week, through the month, and through the year. So the penetration will still go up.
Okay, great, thanks. And the second one was on interest charge. It seemed to be down quarter on quarter by more than I would attribute to the reduction in debt. Is there anything else in that interest line that is causing it to be so low in Q1?
Yeah, there's a lot more in that interest line. It also includes the amortization of costs related to setting up the structure in the past, but also to the valuation of positions like the put options for the minority interests. So you know, it's a bag of some elements, more than just the interest charges that we are paying on the syndicated loan, which are obviously a lot lower than last year due to the fact that the syndicated loan, that the net debt is much lower than it was.
So is a sort of 6 million quarterly run rate a sensible rate to assume for the rest of the year, or did you have some revaluation benefits in there?
Yeah, that's hard to say because it depends on the interest developments when, again, revaluating those liabilities that I was just referring to.
Yeah, but I mean, it's right to assume that there, on average, will be a few million costs per quarter before we start paying interest.
Yeah.
Okay.
The underlying interest cost will be a few million per quarter.
Okay, great. And then the very last one was just on the French tax and a modeling question. Manpower said to take 85% of the revenue and tax that at 1.5%. That gets you 8.2 if you do it on Q1 this year. Is that therefore the right formula to use for you guys for the rest of the year?
Correct.
Perfect. Thank you.
That will conclude today's question and answer session, and I'd like to turn the call over again to Mr. Van de Kraat. Please go ahead, sir, for any additional remarks.
Well, thank you very much for joining us for this call, and we're looking forward to meet you again in the in July when we will be announcing our second quarter results. Thanks. Bye.
This will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.